Call the meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Item 3, roll call.
John Steinberg.
Here.
Chris Tuckler.
Here.
Steve Komarkowitz.
Here.
Dave Klemisch.
Here.
Mike Serpy.
Here.
Quorum being present. Item 4 is a presentation. That's item A, and that is to consider and present Resolution 1801 of appreciation and recognition to Jane Romanowski for her years of service to the Village of Pleasant Prairie.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President, Village Board members. Tonight in front of you is Resolution Number 1801. It's a resolution of appreciation and recognition for Jane M. Romanowski for her years of service to the Village of Pleasant Prairie, and I can read the resolution too for the record. Whereas Jane M. Romanowski will retire on January 31st, 2018, after 26 years of outstanding service and commitment to the Village of Pleasant Prairie, and whereas Jane began her career with the Village of Pleasant Prairie on November 25, 1991, in the Community Development Department and had been promoted multiple times during her tenure, and whereas throughout her years of service, Jane served the community with integrity in her various roles as clerical and executive secretary, village clerk, and assistant to the administrator, and whereas Jane graduated from the Wisconsin Municipal Clerks and Treasurers Institute in 1997, and from the Master Municipal Clerk Academy in 2002. And whereas Jane honorably represented the Village of Pleasant Prairie by being designated as a certified municipal clerk in 1998 and was awarded the prestigious Master Municipal Clerk designation by the International Institute of Municipal Clerks in 2007. And whereas Jane continued to proudly represent the Village as a member of the Wisconsin Municipal Clerks Association and served as secretary, district director, and chaired and served on many committees, and whereas Jane demonstrated expertise and devotion to her work and provided superior professional service to the residents of Pleasant Prairie through her duties as village clerk by maintaining records, conducting municipal elections, facilitating village board meetings, issuing licenses and permits, and whereas the village would like to acknowledge and sincerely thank Jane for her dedication and commend her for the vast amount of knowledge she has bestowed upon the community. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the Village of Pleasant Prairie extends to Jane our sincere respect and appreciation for her service to the village and our congratulations on her well-earned retirement and best wishes for her continued success, happiness, and good health in the years to come. Considered and adopted this 15th day of January 2018.
Jane, why don't you make your way on up here?
She's not even know that I couldn't even sing.
John, let's adopt the ordinance.
And John, Jane is making her way up here.
I'd like to adopt Resolution 1801.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Everybody wants it for you. Motion carries. Well, Jane.
Mary Jo's.
The village spared no expense at this. Not only it is made in the U.S. of A., it is put together well with a hole at the top. It's always done. And it's straight, even, and came with a protective cover. So, because I know you're going to be going into the North Woods and bears could scratch this or something. So. You want to run the plastic for the picture of the show? We're going to go all the way on this. All right, now we got to scrunch together. Another one.
There you go.
Congratulations. Now, try and keep your speech under at least 10 minutes. Serpy wants to get home here.
I'll make it quick. It's hard to believe I've sat through a lot of these from up at the dais, and now I'm standing here. It's also hard to believe that I finally get to sit in the back of the room for a change, so that's kind of neat. When I started, you know, you start thinking of the years and how quick they go. My daughters were 2.5 and 4. I have grandkids that age now, another one on the way. I am so looking forward to spending time with them. The main purpose of my retirement is to do that. Leave the preoccupation of the workload gone, you know. I thank the board, John, Mike, and Steve. I've served all the years with you. And then we had the addition of Dave and Chris. It made it one of the strongest, if not the strongest board I've ever seen. Worked with a lot of board members, so thank you for your leadership, your support, your guidance. And I was very lucky. Not only did I work here, but I've lived here for 28 years. So thank you. Thank you to the part, Mike. Worked with Mike Polakoff almost my whole career. And some of these department heads my whole career. So you were always there for me. The guidance, the support, the respect, and the friendship. And I do appreciate it all. I'm really looking forward to my next chapter. And I'll miss you, but I have a lot to look forward to. So thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Jane, we were blessed with a lot of years of service, and for the life of me, I can't think of an error that you made in all the times that you have served on this with this board and all the elections, 71 elections? 71 elections, and I don't recall ever an error that was brought forward. I do recall one, John, when you lost by 100 votes by mistake. That was right. But, again, thanks for your service, Jane. And when we sat next to each other, you guided me a lot of ways on what to say and when to say it, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
I can't believe it's that many years. I mean, it goes fast. And how come our hair turned gray and yours looks so good? You know, we're... And all of us are fighting the pounds, and you're still slim and trim. What's going on here? You're going to have to give us your secret, though. But congratulations, and you got some well-deserved time. I mean, every time I go into your office, I see the pictures of the kids, and I see how they're growing, and I can tell that you want to be up there with them. That'll wear off, don't worry. And well-deserved time, so. You might even get out of this cold climate for a while. You never know. So, congratulations. All right. Now you get to sit in the back with the cool kids. Neat. All right. That moves us on to item 5, minutes of the meetings for December 18th, 2017, presented to board members in written form.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Chris, second by Steve. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. We have one public hearing on the docket this evening, and that is item 6, public hearing. Item A, to consider the variance from section 395-72A of the Village Land Division and Development Control Ordinance to allow for a 5-acre lot to be subdivided relating to the property located at 9109 River Road for the construction of a single-family home without extending municipal sanitary sewer. Jean?
Mr. President, members of the board and the audience, this is a public hearing this evening, and it's for a request for a variance from Section 395-72A of the Village's Land Division and Development Control Ordinance. The petitioner is requesting a variance, again from the Land Division and Development Control Ordinance, to allow for a 5-acre lot to be subdivided from the property located at 9109 River Road, owned by Oliver and Patricia Christensen, trustees of the Christensen Trust, for the construction of a single-family home without the extension of or the connection to municipal sanitary sewer. The property is currently zoned A3, Limited Agricultural District, and portions of the property are zoned C1, Lowland Resource Conservancy District, and FPO, Floodplain Overlay District. The A3 district requires lots to be a minimum of 5 acres and 300 feet of frontage. At least 50% of the lot shall be located outside of the wetlands and the 100-year floodplain. A detailed wetland staking will need to be completed, and the location of the 100-year floodplain will need to be field verified. In addition, a floodplain boundary adjustment will be required to provide dry land access to the new 5-acre property being created. Section 395-72A of the Village's Land Division and Development Control Ordinance requires that all new lots created by Land Division be serviced by municipal sanitary sewer. Municipal sanitary sewer is currently located on County Trunk Highway C, Wilmot Road, east of the Des Plaines River. Although sanitary sewer is expected to be extended within the County Trunk Highway C right-of-way west of the Des Plaines River and possibly south on 114th Avenue in the future, where sanitary sewer could serve urban development on both sides of 114th Avenue, as the road continues south and becomes River Road, further urban development is not likely due to the large amount of wetlands and 100-year floodplains on either side of River Road. Furthermore, the extension of municipal sanitary sewer within River Road would be extremely costly and would service very few homes. If municipal sanitary sewer is required to be extended due to failing on-site septic systems, the property owners would likely, if possible, install holding tanks, or if that's not possible, they would be required to pay that large cost for the extension of municipal sanitary sewer and then connect to the sewer. The petitioner has had soil tests completed, and Kenosha County has indicated that an on-site sewage system could be installed on the proposed property. A new home will also need to install a well since municipal water is not located within River Road. So with that, that sets forth the framework and the information for the petitioner's request. The petitioner is in the audience, and he would like to address the board regarding his request for a variance. Again, to be able to do a land division and create a single-family lot on 5 acres and not be required to connect to municipal sanitary sewer.
Good evening. My name is Craig Miller. I currently live at 2880 11th Place, Kenosha, Wisconsin, 53140. Thank you, everybody, for your time. I would like to thank all the parties involved in this process, as it has been a very involved process. That includes my grandparents and all the staff at Pleasant Prairie. Everybody's been a pleasure to work with. It's been a dream of mine to live in Pleasant Prairie again, as I grew up on this road just down the street from where we're proposing the property to be. That variance would allow that dream to come true. My wife and I would very much like to raise my son in this area and be able to share all the experiences that I've had in Pleasant Prairie, as I love the community and would love to be back in it. So again, thank everybody. I thank everybody for their time today, and I sincerely hope that you'll consider the variance.
Hey, thank you. With that, I'll open the public hearing. And can we have that read into the record also then, this statement?
His statement?
Pardon?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
The statement read into the record? I'm opening the public hearing?
Yes. I'm still not following you.
This is a public hearing?
Right, so his statement is part of the public
hearing.
Part
of the record?
Yeah. Yes.
Correct. Was there a sign up for the public hearing?
There was, and it was Craig Miller.
Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak?
No one else. There's no other side.
Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak on this item? Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing and order public board comment or question.
I just have one question. What is the cost of a septic in a well right now? Do you have any idea?
From people that have talked to, and I don't have any.
I need you to come to the microphone. Sorry.
Thank you.
So we haven't had anybody actually come out to land to give a proposal for the land itself, but we believe everybody that we've talked to, it starts around $12,000.
Okay. All right. Okay, unless there's other questions, I'd move approval of the variance. He obviously hasn't got much of a choice but to do what they're doing. So.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Any further discussion on this item?
My only questions were on the septic and how it would affect the floodplain. And you addressed both of those in your presentation.
The rules are very clear for the septic, so.
Absolutely. So there were, he would not be able to
not
put
a problem at all.
Any septic in the floodplain. So as long as he right. has an area that he could put in a conventional system, he should be able to do that. And the county would agree.
And River Road is a unique place to live and raise a family because over the years, that's I grew up knowing a lot of the people down River Road, and it's a place you can always call home, I guess. So, right. With that, we had a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. That being the only public hearing, move on to item 7, citizens' comments.
Mr. President, there was no citizen sign-ups this evening.
Anyone wishing to speak under citizens' comments? Hearing none, I'll close citizens' comments. Move on to item 8, administrator's report.
Mr. President, I do not have anything tonight.
Moving on to item 9, new business. First item being item 8, receive the Planning Commission recommendation. Consider a master conceptual plan for the proposed 50,000-square-foot freighted South Pleasant Prairie Medical Office building. This is within the Main Street Market development located at the northeast corner of State Highway 31 and 165.
Mr. President, members of the board, before you this evening is a request for a master conceptual plan approval at the request of Peter Moulter, and he's the agent for Freightert South. This is for a proposed 50,000-square-foot Pleasant Prairie medical office building known as Freightert South to be constructed in the Main Street Market development at the northeast corner of Highway 31, which is Green Bay Road, and 165 or 104th Street. On December 4th, 2017, the board had conditionally approved the master conceptual plan for the Main Street Market itself, and this is for a commercial development at that triangle. And they also approved a refinement of the neighborhood plan that had been conditionally approved by the board on October 2nd, 2017. And this is for a number of commercial buildings. As you can see on the slide, we had a grocery store, retail building, multi-tenant buildings, commercial buildings, as well as a gasoline station and C-store, and then finally for the medical office building, as we are presenting this evening as part of a more detailed conceptual plan. The comprehensive plan amendment, again, to the High Point neighborhood plan, Main Street Marketplace, kind of refined that plan. As you can see to the left, it was originally approved in the mid-2000s, and then we just refined it And based on some new traffic information, new design information, as well as some new user information, we were able to update the comprehensive plan for the particular Main Street market. So with respect to medical office building for Freightert South Building F, they are proposing to advance this project. It's kind of in the south central portion of this development, just north of Highway 165. What they are proposing is a four-story office building, approximately 12,500 square feet per floor. Basically, based on the elevation, they're going to have three-story elevation facing the east and then four-story facing the west. Again, facing the east, we've got the Meadowlands condominium development, and to the west we have Highway 31 and the Lakeview Corporate Park. But again, the idea is that it would be approximately 50,000 square feet. The building exterior materials will consist of unit masonry brick in an architectural prairie style to match their existing St. Catharines Medical Center campus in Prairie Ridge on Highway 50. The first floor is intended to support a number of different types of rehab therapy services, private treatment areas for patients, including a gym area and related support areas. And the second through fourth floors is intended to be for physician offices as well as providing primary and specialty care. This is very, very similar to their existing clinic that they recently built up in the Village of Summers. The hours of the facility is proposed to be Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m., Saturday from 7 to 5, Sunday based on patient demand, it would be for limited hours. It's intended that they would start with the first two floors that would be built out initially, and the remaining two floors would be shelled in, and then that internal area would be built out in later stages. Employment, based on their initial concept, is that there would be 80 full-time equivalent jobs. The goal would be to have construction completed and the facility operational by next winter, 2018-2019. Parking and pedestrian interconnections will be shared throughout the development. Again, it's important to note that this is going to be put together as part of a unified business development, so we will have common features and architecture and just things that transcend from one area to the other out there, similar to Prairie Ridge and some of the other project areas we have in Pleasant Prairie. With respect to this project, there will be 247 parking spaces, including 12 handicapped accessible spaces within 400 feet of the building. And as you can see, the way they've set this up is that there really will be access to the building so that there's parking on all four sides of the building. This is a project that went before the Village Plan Commission and the board, not only at the conceptual and neighborhood plan stages, just because it was very preliminary as part of the Main Street market, but then has also been before the Village Plan Commission as part of their public hearing process at their last meeting. Just like with the rest of Main Street Market, we are continuing to work on the next steps or next phases at the same time as this project is developing, including a traffic impact analysis, a CSM with a development agreement pertaining to the public improvements that are required for the Main Street Market as well as this particular development, comprehensive land use plan amendments to remove the urban reserve and those aspects of the wetland areas being filled. And then, obviously, they will need to move to the next step, which is preliminary and then final site and operational plans. They will also be looking for a PUD overlay. The property is currently zoned B2, but there are some modifications that we are looking at with respect to them. Again, because this is an integral business development, there'll probably be zero lot line setbacks. For example, we're not expecting huge separation spacings from one parking area to the next because it's all intended to be developed as a unified development. So with that, we have met with Peter Moulter of Frederick South. He is actually here in the audience. If you have any questions that he can add to any of the additional comments that we've had for this project to date, he can come up and you can visit with him. But we are continuing to move through the process, not only for Main Street Market, but also for the Frederick South Medical Clinic that they have proposed.
Peter, anything you'd care to add? All right. Any questions for Gene or Peter?
I have a question. We don't quite know what 165 is going to look like after this process, and I'm the same with Old Green Bay Road. Not knowing that, how confident are we that the footprint of this building isn't going to be impacted by any change in the highway?
So we have been making assumptions along with Pinnacle Engineering on behalf of SR Mills and the Bear Development Team and have had a number of communications with the DOT, even though we have not received the TIA response back from them. So we have assumed more or less a worst-case scenario to identify exactly how wide that Old Green Bay Road needs to be. We actually have some of those details and those specifications that we have put together, and our village engineer has been working on that with us. So we have some of that information. We've looked at a couple of different alignments for the intersection of Old Green Bay Road as well as 165. We've looked at how much right-of-way is going to be needed. So we've started going through that entire process. And so we aren't 100%, but I think based on the information that we have right now, and we hope to have some final decisions and information from the DOT within the next 2 weeks or so, and I'm sure we're going to ask them tomorrow at our quarterly meeting, but to see where they are with respect to the TIA. But we are trying to advance it, knowing that we do need to make sure that we have final information from them, but we're looking kind of at a worst-case scenario so that the hospital site has been laid out from that perspective.
So we're hopeful that that those limits from the state as far as what the widest need they would need for 165, those would be in before we break ground?
Yes. I don't know if, Matt, if you want to add anything further to that?
The only thing I'd add is that They are currently in the works of designing Old Green Bay Road. So between the overall Main Street market plan and Friedrich Hospital, hopefully the two are coordinating well enough that they know what's going on. But I don't think the footprint necessarily would change. I think at the worst case, you might have some parking stalls that are affected.
And F is far, building F is far enough away from the roads, but building G and E, the ones that are on those roads, I'm guessing those won't get developed until we know for sure where those lines are.
Absolutely. And we should know that probably within the next 30 days, would you say?
Yeah, I would say the road design is going to be ahead of any other building other than this one.
Correct.
Okay.
Gene, I have one question. Even though Freighter is the only building right now that we know that's going up, the Jelly Belly crossover, for the lack of a identification of that road, that's still going to go in with, even with only knowing that Freighter is the only building going up, is that still going to go in?
So the TIA looks at existing and future conditions and has to look at the entire project as a whole. It may not go in the very first phase, but they have to, the state and the village and the developer needs to look at the entire project as a whole. So I can't tell you exactly what that's going to look like with respect to that cross, or if there's going to be any access north or south. There may not be, but that is part of the analysis. And I don't believe that the clinic's location at this site was dependent on whether or not that Main Street access went in or not. But I know that this is part of the overall analysis. And several years ago when we were looking at this in 2007, at that time the state had identified that would be appropriate for that roadway go in. The question is now is whether or not that should be a signalized intersection, if there can be any access going north or south from it. All those details need to get vetted out, and again, we're hoping that that will happen in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay. All right.
With that being said, I would entertain a motion.
I move approval
master conceptual plan.
Of the master conceptual plan.
Second.
Motion by Dave, second by Mike. Any further discussion? And hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. Do you want B and C taken together, Gene?
Yes, please.
Motion to take B and C together?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dave, second by Chris. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Item B is to receive the Planning Commission recommendation and consider Ordinance 1802 for several comprehensive plan amendments. Property located at 107 188th Avenue. Item C is to receive the Planning Commission recommendation and consider Ordinance 1803 for the zoning map amendment to rezone property located at 107 188th Avenue into the C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District. Okay.
Mr. President, members of the board, the two items you have before you are the Comprehensive Plan Amendment, Ordinance 18-02, and a Zoning Map Amendment, Ordinance 1803. And these are both at the request of Andrew Schoaf, who is a PE with Pinnacle Engineering, on behalf of Muskie Enterprises, owner of the property. And this is related to completed wetland delineations on the property located at 10700 88th Avenue. As you know, site and operational plans had been conditionally approved by the Plan Commission on December 11, 2017. And this is for Olds Products to complete two additions to their existing facility in the Lakeview Corporate Park, a 26,000-square-foot addition and a 100,000-square-foot addition, along with 22 new dock doors. As part of any new addition in the Lakeview Corporate Park, it's required to have wetlands delineated and the 100-year floodplain always evaluated on the properties. So both of these investigations were completed by the environmental firms. There were wetlands found along the south property line, and those are proposed to be rezoned into the C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District. And the 2035 land use plan map is proposed to be corrected to reflect that delineation. In addition, there were some wetlands that were inadvertently created and identified along the east property line. And again, these were self-created, and as part of the berming and the grading that was done on the property, and these wetlands were found to be exempt from the DNR from their permit requirements as of 10/17/17. So the request you have this evening twofold, to correct and modify and update the comprehensive plan to reflect the wetland delineation, and secondly, to rezone the wetlands that will remain on the property into the Lowland Resource Conservancy District, the C1 classification. The Plan Commission and the staff recommend approval of both, and the comprehensive plan amendment will require a roll call vote.
Move approval of Ordinance 1802.
Second.
Motion by Chris, second by Steve. Further discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote is requested.
Steve Komarkowitz?
Aye.
Dave Klimisch?
Aye.
Mike Serpy?
Aye.
Chris Keckler?
Aye.
John Steinberg?
Aye. The motion carries.
Move approval of Ordinance 1803.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Dave. Further discussion on 1803? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item D, to receive the Planning Commission recommendation and consider Ordinance 1804 to amend Section 420-29 of the related to the business license fees.
Mr. President, members of the Board, on December 4th, 2017, the Board adopted Resolution 17-44, and this is to initiate and petition the Village to reevaluate the business license application and renewal fees for nonprofit businesses in the Village. Since January 1st, 2017, all commercial, industrial, institutional, and governmental businesses, including churches, schools, community residential facilities, home-based businesses, ag businesses, and other uses, were required to obtain and maintain an annual business license pursuant to the Village Zoning Ordinance. As you know, information that's gathered from the business license is essential to performing the community's public safety and public works services. Businesses' contact information is being used to notify and provide efficient public safety notices and services. Information is also obtained that provides important economic development, business attraction, and it's also used for accurate business listings for the active businesses in the community in order to provide us relevant contact information, employment counts, and anticipated employment growth annually, as well as some projections. Section 420.29A, related to business license fees, is proposed to be amended to change the business license fees for nonprofit businesses from $25 to $10. This fee change applies to the initial application or a renewal notice or notice of change for that nonprofit business. This is something that had been requested by some nonprofit businesses last year, and we've had some discussion over the year with respect to this. The ordinance also states that the Village may require additional information to verify that the nonprofit businesses are in fact nonprofit according to the status of the IRS. Currently, there are 28 nonprofit businesses in the Village, and all the other businesses in the Village would be considered not nonprofit or for-profit businesses. The 2018 renewals for the balance of the businesses were sent out in December, and we've actually received back over 300 of them to date, which is great. So it's well ahead of last year. But the 2018 renewals for the nonprofit businesses have not been sent out. What we indicated at the Plan Commission meeting was that those notices would be sent out tomorrow if this ordinance is approved by the Village Board this evening. Again, the renewal fee for nonprofit businesses would be effective immediately, and their licenses would need to be returned to the Village by March 1st, 2018. We wanted to give them a little extra time. And the staff recommends approval of the reduction in the fee for nonprofit businesses to $10.
John.
Mike.
Gene, any more thought with consideration of sharing this with the police and fire?
Absolutely. I have had brief conversations with both the police and fire chief. In fact, we are meeting Wednesday or Thursday of this week to discuss in detail the different types of reports that are available, as well as what types of reports at short notice that they may need in certain areas of the Village.
Good. Thank you. Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Any further discussion on 1804?
I understand the importance of obtaining this information, but I do also appreciate the leniency in the fee structure for these entities. Thank you.
Further comment or question? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Can E and F be taken separately or together?
They can be taken together.
Together?
Yes.
Motion to take E and F together?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dave, second by Chris. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item E is consider ordinance 1801 to amend Chapter 18 of the Municipal Code to create the Sex Offender Residence Board.
Thank you, Mr. President and board members. Thank you.
I'll read the other one out then if we take it together. Consider appointment of members to the Sex Offender Residence Board.
Okay. Now, thank you.
Now.
Thank you. Before that board tonight is ordinance number 1801 to relate to the creation of the Sex Offender Residence Board. If the board remember, late last year in September, there were a couple of amendments that the board reviewed and approved to the Chapter 287, the Sex Offender Ordinance for the Village of Pleasant Prairie. And one of those was to set forth the parameters whereby a sex offender residence board could take in applications and hear a hearing from a sex offender to live within the parameters, live of the safety zones of the sex offender ordinance. That would be the 1,500 feet from churches, schools, parks, so on and so forth. So that's just a predecessor to what's on the agenda tonight. So tonight we're looking at the actual creation of the Sex Offender Residence Board. And I can quickly go through the parameters of the ordinance. Membership and terms. The members of the Sex Offender Residence Board shall be citizens residing in the Village of Pleasant Prairie and shall be selected by the Village President and approved by the Village of Pleasant Prairie Board of Trustees pursuant to this chapter. Members shall serve a term of 5 years and shall serve no more than two consecutive terms. The initial member of the residence board shall be staggered with one member serving 1 year, second member 3 years, and the third member 5 years. Vacancies, the village president shall promptly appoint a new member or alternate member to fill any midterm vacancy of the board, and the newly appointed member or alternate member shall serve the balance of his or her predecessor's term. Conflict of interest. Any member of the Sex Offender Residence Board having a conflict of interest in any matter coming before the board shall refrain from any voting or discussion either prior to, at, or after the matter has been heard by the board. Said board member that has a conflict shall recuse him or herself from all proceedings and the alternate member shall preside. Powers and duties. The Sex Offender Residence Board shall hold a hearing on each appeal filed with the village clerk's office. The board's decision shall be based upon factual information supplied by the appellant, oral or written statements for any person, and shall render its decision within the village's interest in promoting, protecting, and improving the health, safety, and welfare of the community pursuant to applicable factors described in Section 287.6M, parens 3 of the Village Municipal Code. Confidentiality of health information. To the extent it can be reasonably do so, the Sex Offender Residence Board shall have the opportunity to go into closed session to consider any medical history of alcohol, drug, and sex offender treatment, juvenile conviction records, or other health information to the extent allowable by state laws. As far as meetings are concerned, the appeal board hearing shall be held on an as-needed basis. When the village clerk's office receives an appeal form, the office shall schedule a hearing within 45 days of receipt. The hearing notice shall be sent in at least 10 days via U.S. Postal Service to the appellant of the date, time, and location of the meeting. And finally, a written record shall be taken for all findings, determinations, facts, and a copy of such record shall be filed with the village clerk as public record. So those are the parameters of 1801. And if you have any further questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Tom, how many villages and municipalities or cities do we know that have this board in place?
I know of a handful. Green Bay has one. Racine has one. Waukesha, no, not Waukesha, I'm sorry. Jane Snell, do you know? Mount Pleasant has one. So there are several communities in southeast Wisconsin, throughout Wisconsin, who do have this sex offender review board.
The indication are it's working out?
Wow. Yes.
Further questions?
I move approval of the ordinance.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Dave. Now, are there any additions, corrections? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. brings us to item F.
So thanks, you. So in conjunction with the Sex Offender Review Board, I'm going to recommend that the following members in terms be approved by the Village Board. So the first one-year term, Ms. Pauline Hammerbeck. The first three-year term would be Mr. Paul Ratzberg. And the first five-year term would be Mr. George Easton. I recommend those three be the first initial members of the board.
I applaud the people willing to step forward. It's a new commission. There's no previous meetings to look at except in other municipalities. So I appreciate their willingness to do this, and it's going to be an important part for keeping Pleasant Prairie moving forward.
You know, Dave, along with that, all three, Ms. Hammerbeck, very thorough individual. She does her homework. Paul Ratzberg, a retired detective lieutenant with the police department. George Easton, a former court commissioner with the circuit court, municipal judge and lawyer. You have three great people in here, three great people.
And then we got the best qualified citizen that we can get.
And Mr. President, and sometime in the next month or so, Jane Snell will hold a meeting with these board members to give them the parameters of what to do during these meetings, how the meetings should be held. She's created a whole set of documents that this board is going to be run by. So she's going to set that up sometime in March, perhaps. And I have to commend both Jane Snell and Jane Romanowski for helping put those documents together and helping move this SORB, as we call it, along through the process.
That was actually my comment or question. I'd like to know that they're obviously being presented with not only parameters and protocols, but also the expectations of serving impartially and the whole process that's expected of them.
Yes.
And certainly appreciate their volunteering for this.
Yeah. On top of that, our attorneys out of Milwaukee who have been working on this whole process with us through the years, they've offered to offer some training, too, for the initial SORB members so they can get themselves immersed in the whole process and see how things and show them how things are run.
I like the specific nature in the ordinance. It says the decision shall be based upon factual information supplied by the appellant. So like Chris mentioned, it's any emotions or preconceived isn't part of this. It's based on facts, and the history of the three people on the board shows that they're used to following how the courts work and how the law works.
Right. And each case will be heard on its own merits. So each case is an individual, like you said, and it will be heard on its own merits.
I got a question. Are they going to have a secretary? Any work assigned to them?
Jane, do you know the answer to that? Well, the meetings will be recorded.
Oh, yes.
Yes, so.
But still, don't they got to have a secretary?
We'll look into that for you, Steve.
Okay, thank you.
And we're calling it the SORB?
That's the acronym that we go by, is SORB.
All right.
I just want to mention that on our first meeting with the members of the board, we will be picking a chairperson and a secretary for that particular board.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
So that will happen, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, if there are no further comments, we have a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries.
And move approval of the members of the board.
Second.
That's, we approve the ordinance and now the members.
We already did.
I'll get there eventually.
What have we? Forget it.
Okay.
The SORB is complete.
We're complete.
Yes.
Moving on to item G. Item G is consider the design service agreement between the Village of Pleasant Prairie and Strand Associates relating to the design of State Highway 165 lift station project.
Mr. President, members of the board, this is a design service contract with Strand for the design services of a new lift station on 165, just north of Corporate Drive. There is an existing lift station out there. It was built in the late 1980s, around 1990. It was a temporary lift station that was built out there for the initial start of the development. That lift station has pretty much hit its capacity, and with all the new development that's occurring out by I-94, it's time to replace that lift station. The lift station will service Prairie Highland Corporate Park, all the existing developments that are out there, and it will go also service future development south along 160 or south along the east frontage road down to ML, and then north all the way up to kind of halfway between Highway C and 165. This map shows the areas in red, which is essentially the ultimate service area for the lift station. The areas crosshatched are the existing developments that are served by the existing lift station. With that, we did receive, we requested proposals from three companies. We received them from two that had a high experience with lift stations. The winning award for the lift station design was with Strand and Associates for $184,100. With that, we'd recommend approval of that contract, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
I move approval of the design service agreement.
Motion by Dave, second by Mike. Further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Item H, consider a cooperative service agreement between the Village of Pleasant Prairie and the United States Department of Agriculture, Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, Wildlife Services, and this is relating to the removal of beavers and beaver dams within the Village of Pleasant Prairie.
Mr. President, members of the board, Pleasant Prairie is responsible to maintain the creeks and drainage ways within village properties. The Jerome Creek and its tributaries collect flow from much of central Pleasant Prairie west of the subcontinental divide around Cooper Road, north all the way to Highway 50, flowing south. In 2007, Pleasant Prairie entered into a cooperative service agreement with the Pleasant Prairie Power Plant and USDA to trap, relocate, and remove beaver dams within the defined limits as shown on the attached map. Can you flip that? In 2017, USDA relocated four beavers, two muskrats, and pulled out eight beaver dams on village property. I do recommend a service agreement be entered with USDA for 2018.
John, will those be relocated or food pantry? Which one?
They will be lethally disposed of.
Okay.
Move approval of the service agreement.
Second.
Motion by Chris, second by Steve. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Item I, consider appointment of village clerk.
Thank you. With the announcement of Jane Owenowski retiring at the end of this month, her official last date will be January 31st. I recommend that Jane Snell be the village clerk effective February 1, 2018.
Make a motion to approve it.
Second.
Motion by Steve, second by Chris. Further discussion?
Look at how excited she is.
Just quiet.
I thought I'd take a moment to thank you all very much.
You can feel the excitement all the way down here.
Thank you very much for the consideration, and I will do my best to support you as well as Jane Romanowski has over the years, and I appreciate all the help that Jane has given me in this last year, showing me the ropes of the village clerk. So I appreciate Jane's help, and I thank her very much, and I wish her well, and I look forward to working with you all.
Thank you.
It would be inappropriate to say she has big shoes to fill, so I'm not going
to. Make a motion to adjourn.
Not already.
Okay. You did already.
We got to approve.
Oh, approve.
Yeah, we have a motion and a second.
Yeah.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item 10, village board comments. One thing is the dark store item. Still alive and kicking somewhere, right, Rocco? And they're back in session, so hopefully, yeah. If you get a chance, call your legislators, remind them that this is important to the village, its residents, and the taxpayers of the state. There's a lot of lobbying on the other side that's not exactly all truthful. It's not even close to truthful. You know, the session starts up there, so they need prodding. So you can call them, get your neighbors to call them, because the kind of thing they understand is voters concerned about their taxes and protecting the services they receive from their municipalities, and that's some of the biggest things impacted by this. So,
you know, John, I've talked to a lot of people in the village and tell them what possibly could be coming with this dark store thing, and it's amazing. We put out into the village newsletter about the dark store problem. The Kenosha News has written a couple of articles on it, and I have not had, I don't think I had more than two people that really know anything about the, it's a surprise to everybody you talk to. They just don't understand it. And what that tells me, that if and when this thing happens and the tax and the amount of taxation that's going to go on the property, on the homeowner's property tax bill, they're going to come back at the board and blame us for all these increases. And it's going to be hard to sit here and say, no, it's not us, it's the state. And they're going to say, oh, yeah, that's easy for you to say because you're sitting here and they're not. So we got a problem, and education is the biggest problem, and apparently we're not getting to the people, because the majority of the people that I mentioned this to have no idea that this is even taking place.
You know, one of the reasons, too, right now, is the fact that they're too busy working in two bills. One of them is the right of the landlords, and the other one is a bill to benefit the realtors. They are not interested in benefiting the communities. And right now, with the two bills they are working on, they are going to decrease the fees and the control that we get over those properties. They are trying to take away the control of the properties, the rental properties, safety, and everything from the municipalities. So that's what they're doing. They're looking for somebody else, know what they should be doing. What concerns me, they are going to deal with the door store business in the end of the year, and then they are going to drag it. They're going to miss two persons to support that, to go to both, and then going to pass it. They are going to delete it again. And when those bills pass, they are not retroactive. Right now, when this business, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, those are the ones who support this bill. When they go to court and they win the case, usually municipality gotta pay back 3 years of taxes, yours and mine and everyone in this room. But when they pass the law eventually, it's not going to be retroactive. It's going to start the following year. That's the way that Madison works. We got the best legislator that money can buy. I'm not afraid to say that because it's true. Thank you.
With that, I move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries.